Turn in your Bibles today to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 3 through 5, one that you're very, very familiar with, but 2 Corinthians and chapter 10. The title of the sermon today is The Lie, The Lie. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Now, to give you some background on what Paul is dealing with here in this portion of Scripture and what is going on, there had been false teachers that had come in, and their work that they were doing was going to destroy the church as Paul saw it. And the truth of the gospel was being hurt and it was being damaged. They were attacking Paul and the truth of God's word. And look at what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Go over one more chapter and look at verse 3. In verse 3, it says, "But I fear lest someone somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." So it gives you an insight into what Paul was dealing with there at the church of Corinth. He was concerned about the church. He was worried about the church. And when we look back on chapter 10, in chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity of the obedience of Christ." The battle that Paul had was with false teachers and fleshly teachers. But the battle he faced was not a fleshly battle. It was a spiritual battle. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, save your place in Corinthians. We're going to come back and forth from there. But go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, another chapter that you are very familiar with. But in Ephesians chapter 6, it says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." The battle that you and I face is in the spirit. It is not in the flesh. You and I need to recognize that when we're dealing with different issues in our life. Many times we will think, "Oh, this person is just being a jerk," or "That person over there, they're just being mean. They're just being ununderstanding," not realizing that your battle is not with that person. The battle is a spiritual battle against the host of wickedness. Ephesians 6:10, to wage spiritual warfare, we must be strong where? In the Lord and in the power of his might, not our might. In other words, be filled with his spirit. You cannot fix a spiritual problem in the physical or in the flesh. I want to say that again, because this is so important. Not because I'm saying it, because it's from the Lord. You cannot fix a spiritual problem in the physical or in the flesh. And because mankind was born in the flesh and walks in the flesh, he always comes up with a fleshly decision of what will take care of it. Let me give you an example. We all know that we need to be saved and to go to heaven, that we need to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. You and I know that we need to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. but this is what man does. This is a spiritual issue. If people do not know Jesus, that's not a physical issue, that's a spiritual issue. Because the God of this world, the adversary with a small g, has blinded their eyes to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so they will not see. So when we talk about the unsaved that live in the communities, that live in the world, that live in the United States, it is not a fleshly problem. It is a spiritual problem that we are dealing with. We come here in this place to deal with spiritual issues because we are a spiritual family of God, because we are the church, we are the temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit is in our lives. That's what we do here. We don't come here to fix physical things. We come here to fix spiritual things. What man does, he says, by fixing this problem, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just become a church member. I'll give more money to the church. I'll go get baptized. And people are trying to fix a spiritual issue with a physical thing that they can do by giving more money, by joining the church, or by being baptized. That is trying to fix the problem in the flesh, when what we need to do is in the Spirit by accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior and become born again. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. It says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Remember the walls of Jericho? And you remember the story of the walls of the Jericho, that the army was not going to be able to take those walls down. They were not going to be able to defeat that army. Did they in themselves and in their power defeat that? And though they did, who took the walls down? God took the walls down. The battle was a spiritual battle, not a physical. It would have taken God's power and it took God's authority to break through that situation. So you cannot take a physical problem that is in the world that really underneath it is really a spiritual issue that you're dealing with and take something physical and deal with that. You are not going to be able to walk up there and say that we're going to get a big enough army and we're going to get big enough guns and we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to make the walls of Jericho fall down, because they could not do it. They did something that it talks about here in the Scripture. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. How many inside the walls of Jericho laughed at the Hebrew people that were walking around the walls on the outside? Look at them fools. They're just walking around in circles, and nothing is taking place until it was too late, because God took the walls down. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians, got to get there myself. Chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So yes, I walk in the flesh, but that is not where my battle is. It's in the Spirit. Now in verse 4, if we read verse 4 again, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. We see the word stronghold here. It appears about 50 times in the Bible. Jericho was a stronghold. It was a walled city, a fortress, and in Corinth, we see here Paul was dealing with a walled fortress that was standing against the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was a stronghold that had taken place. Satan loves to plant strongholds in your life. And the list is unlimited. Past abuse, unworthiness, low self-esteem. All those things that were taken to the cross with Jesus Christ, and the adversary wants to plant a stronghold of those things in each and every one of our lives. Can you put a name to the emotional stronghold that Satan has built in your life? Something that's holding you away from coming closer to God, for developing a more intimate relationship with Him. People are not coming to church today because of strongholds that the adversary has planted in their life. I'm unworthy. I don't deserve it. I'm not good enough. I don't measure up. Well, you know what? We just need to say, no, I don't. I don't measure up. I am unworthy. I know that in many ways I am very unlovable, but Jesus decided to die for me so I could have life. Amen. How many people try to fix these emotional strongholds in the physical? Well, we see it on the news all the time. Drugs, alcohol, self-help. We have already said you cannot fix a spiritual problem in the flesh. I'll repeat that again. You cannot. You will not. It is impossible for you to fix a spiritual problem in the flesh. Let me give you another example. If evil spirits plague your house, putting another wrap of saran wrap around it won't help. It won't help. You must cast it out with God's power and with God's authority. So quit putting saran wrap around your life and take authority over our lives, and we need to take authority over. And the question is how? Sin and strongholds in your life always start with a lie. Turn with me to John 8:44. The Gospel of John 8:44. John 8:44. In verse 44 it says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of all." Satan is a liar and father of all lies. Adam and Eve's sin started out with a lie, and they decided to believe it. If you have an emotional stronghold in your life, Satan has told you a lie, and you have chosen to believe that lie. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified in him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." In verse 6, it says that we were crucified with him. Spiritually, when Christ went to the cross, you went with him. You see, we say that Jesus took all of our sins, and he took all of the sins of the world. He took all the sins of humanity, and when he died, he put every one of those sins to the cross. They're under the blood of Jesus. But sometimes we don't relate that or equate that to ourselves. But when Jesus went to the cross, spiritually, he took you with him. When Jesus went to the cross, you went with him. When Jesus went to the grave, you went with him. When Christ was resurrected, you were resurrected with him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "We are new creations in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new." You are brand new in the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You are a new creation. You are brand new in Christ. The old has passed away. All things have become new. So how do I destroy the strongholds in my life? And I'm going to go through this, and I'm going to number them, and I'm going to name them off. And then Jonathan, at the end of the service, he's going to put all of them up there. So you don't have to worry about taking notes at this time. They will be on the screen. Number one, I need to be saved. I need to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I need to be born again. Number two, in your heart, you need to know who you are in Jesus. Now turn with me to Romans 8, chapter 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I am a child of God, and not only am I a child, but I am also an heir, and not only that I'm an heir, but I am a joint heir with Jesus. Do you realize what that gives you? That gives you all authority. That gives you all power of heaven, because you are a joint heir with Jesus. Jesus said in the scripture, yet you will do greater things than I have done because I go to my Father. We do greater things today because of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, that we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We can lay hands on the sick. We can cast out demons. We can take authority over them because Jesus has given us that authority. You and me, not just me, but you have that power. You have that authority. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. So number one, I need to be saved, accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior. Number two, in your heart, you need to know who you are in Jesus. And we turn to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, Ephesians 2, I'll get there, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you have been saved. Verse 6, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Because of my faith and my relationship that I have with Jesus, I might live on earth and I might live in this fleshly body, but I am spiritually seated in heaven with Christ. This place is not your home. Heaven is your home. Number three, I need to walk in the authority that I have in Jesus. So turn with me to Mark chapter 16, the Gospel of Mark. And we look at an example of the Great Commission that is given to you and I. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Mark 16, verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Why will they be condemned? Because they condemn themselves. The offering is there. The work is already done. Calvary has already taken place. Jesus has already given their life, his life, for you to have life. If you are condemned today, it's because you condemn yourself, because you will not accept his sacrifice that he made for you. That's what salvation is. I'm accepting the sacrifice that Jesus made for me. I accept him as my Lord and Savior. I put my faith in him. I want him to be my Lord, because I have messed up my life so bad, I need some help. And the Lord Jesus will give us that help that is needed. He goes on to say, verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. These signs will follow those who believe. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and they will drink anything deadly. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Saints, we need to be walking in the Spirit. This world needs it. Our nation needs it. This town needs it. It needs the power of the Holy Spirit. It needs Bible-believing people that will stand up, stand on the Word of God, act on the Word of God, and go out and change people's lives to God. Hallelujah. Through the Great Commission, I have been given. A transfer of authority is taking place here. A power from him to us. Through Christ, we have the authority over the powers of darkness. You need to tell the adversary who you are in Christ, that you have the power over that stronghold. Take authority over that stronghold. So, in destroying strongholds, you need to be saved. Number two, know who you are in Christ. Number three, walk in the authority that you have in Jesus. Now, we're going to talk about the offensive weapons. Turn with me back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and the offensive weapons that we have is the Word of God and prayer. So when you go back to 2 Corinthians, what does he say there? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds, in my own paraphrase, through the power of God. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. So number four, the Word of God. Get in it. If you're not in the Word of God, you need to get in it. Don't just believe the pastor. Don't believe anything the pastor tells you. Don't believe anything that's put off down there. You believe what the Word of God tells you, what it's speaking to your heart. And I believe that my spirit will bear witness with your spirit, because our spirits bears witness with God. And we have a connection through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's our connection. It's not like what you said last week. We don't all drive white trucks. We don't all drive blue cars. Our connection is the power of the Holy Spirit that is coursing through our veins, through the Lord Jesus, because we are the resurrected of the Lord. Man, I'll tell you, I could get excited today. I love the Lord Jesus. I want to shout His glory on the mountaintop. So if we list them out, and Jonathan, you can put them up there at this time, so if anybody wants to write them down. Number one, you need to be saved. If you've got a stronghold in your life, and you know what it is, every one of you knows what it is. If you have been abused ever in your whole entire life, you have been molested ever in any time in your life, that is not only an invasion of your privacy, Satan wanted to rob you. He wanted to rob you. He wanted to steal from you. John 10:10, he comes to do what? Rob, steal, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life abundantly. And if you've got a stronghold you're dealing with, then you're not living abundantly. So what does he say? We need to get rid of that stronghold so you can live abundantly. Number one, you need to be saved. Number two, know who you are in Christ. Know who you are. Number three, take in the authority that you have in Christ. And the last two are the offensive weapons that we have is the Word of God and prayer. If you do these things, no stronghold can stand against you. I believe that with my whole heart. This is a spiritual battle that you're facing, and we just give the recipe to be able to destroy that spiritual stronghold that is in your life. How do you think this church got built? Just by exactly these five steps. We were believers that came together. We know who we were in Christ Jesus. We had the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we used the Word of God, and we had prayer. And don't you think that this church did not feel adversity when we came here to build here? Because every day was adversity, because there was powers of darkness, the rulers of darkness, that did not want this church here. But we broke through that stronghold. The Holy Spirit told Carol one day, you're piercing the darkness. You're piercing the darkness. Later on, the Holy Spirit told her weeks or a month later, now you're breaking through. We broke through the powers of darkness. You can break through the powers of darkness in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit, because He has given you that power. All five steps need to be brought to bear. Don't skip any. If you're skipping something in your life, then it's not working. So when I look at these, I can say, yes, I have been born again. I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Many people do not know who they are in Christ, because they don't realize nor recognize that they are seated in heavenly places with Lord Jesus. You have been sealed for the day of redemption. No one can pluck you out of the hand of Jesus, the scripture says. So many people never take that into consideration of knowing who they are in Christ, and then they don't take authority over it. There is nothing that we cannot do if God wants it to be done. Through the name of Jesus. The Word of God, are you skipping your time in the Scripture, your time in devotion, your time in prayer, like we talked about last Sunday, and if you, in prayer, that you're skipping that in your life? Dedicate your life to this. God wants to change you. I know He wants to change you because He changed me, and He changed everybody in this room by the power of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't by your strength. It wasn't by your power. It was by the power of God. And we rejoice in Him forevermore. Do you need to be changed today? Is there a stronghold in your life that needs to be broke down? You're not going to do it by going to college. You're not going to do it by throwing more money at it. You're not going to necessarily do it just because you go to a doctor and you think this doctor's got all these skills and all these talents. What did we say? You cannot fix a spiritual problem in the flesh. It is impossible. But through the power of God, you can. Through the power of God, you can. He died so you could be liberated. He died so that stronghold in your life could be broke. Up at 2 o'clock this morning, and the Lord starts speaking to my heart. He does not want this church to be crippled. He does not want you to be crippled. He wants you to be whole. And through the power of God, you can be made whole. We thank you today, Father, for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy. And I pray that, Lord, as we dismiss, but others, if they want to stay and pray, they can, that you would bless our congregation, that you would anoint our congregation, that from the north and the south and the east and the west, that people would be drawn into this place as they have been because they know there's salvation here. God, you know there's deliverance here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.